I don't know, Grant. I think I love the fact that I can buy a ticket, my seat is reserved for me, and I can literally show up 30 seconds before the movie starts. In fact, I don't even have to watch any of the commercials or trailers. I can wait outside, eat my milk duds, and then just stroll into the theater and sit down.
Yeah, that's how my theater is now.
Mm-hmm. So, tell me about this glorious revolution that is now in your life.
It's amazing. They don't have, they used to have lines outside, and no, there's no lines out there anymore. And,
oh my gosh, do you remember, I don't know, you're old, like me now, and I remember vividly going and watching Return of the King and getting there an hour and a half early because I knew I didn't want to be stuck at the very front of the theater and just lining up with every other schmuck in the line next to me.
Yeah, I remember
eating a full popcorn before the movie even started.
I remember going to Empire Strikes Back, the re-release, and I think we showed up like an hour and a half early.
Oh, you weren't there in 1980 when it originally debuted? You weren't in line? As a minus 1 year old baby?
Minus 4 year old baby.
Right. Oh, that's right. I can do math. By the way, happy birthday. We are recording this on your birth of days.
Yeah.
Your day of birth.
I'm doing nothing.
Why is that?
I don't know. We don't really celebrate birthdays anymore.
I guess so. But I mean, do you mark it in any type of way? Do you get a present for yourself? Do you, rub one out because who's better to love you than yourself?
I might order a sandwich and get it delivered.
And then rub one out? Or when do you masturbate is what I'm asking you on your birthday?
Well, once I get the sandwich, I'll use the sandwich.
Right. Yes. Yes. Right. I'm sorry. Yes. Like a normal person. I forgot.
That's why there's two pieces of bread.
Anyways, I'm being awful here trying to lead you into a story that you have written down in our document. You say here that old people suck at reserve seating. I'm curious as to why you think that.
Oh, yeah. I wasn't reading any of that. because they don't understand that it's reserve seating now. So they just sit wherever.
Oh, the worst. The worst.
And then...
it's even worse up here because it's not like it's a new thing anymore. It's been around for 4 years. Which means to me that last movie that they decided to go and watch was like, I don't know, The Hunger Games Part 2. And then decided to roll out of bed yesterday and be like, I guess we're going to go see a movie today.
And when they've learned that it's reserved seating, they just move to another area and they don't still go to their reserved seats.
Mm-hmm.
Horrible people. They should die already.
Oh, they will soon enough, Grant. They will soon enough. Welcome to whatever this is. This is the podcast where two guys sit down and discover, whatever this is. My name is Kyle, and I am talking to Grant. We'll never forget what seat he's supposed to sit in, Tingley.
Are you sure it's two guys?
I think so. Why? Why do you, are you announcing something here on your day of birth?
Hormone therapy.
Okay. I support you in your decision, Grant. Do you have a game for me today?
I have an easy game for you.
Games! You say that all the time, and then I fail miserably. But
no, this will be easy for you. I just want to introduce you to a game. It's only one level because we've got a lot to go through.
Yeah, we had some issues trying to get together here in the last couple of weeks, but we figured out a time to make this work.
Okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to read you the top 10 character names. This is from Doug Loves Movies. And you're going to have to try and figure out what the movie is.
Okay.
As soon as possible.
So again, explain again how this works. I'm sorry.
I'm naming the top 10 character names.
Character names. Okay, did this before, but it was actors.
Yeah, according to IMDb, the top 10.
Okay.
Okay, number 10 is Art Historian 2.
Is this National Treasure?
No.
Okay.
Art Historian 1.
Is this the Da Vinci Code?
No. I don't know how to pronounce a lot of these. Anchise.
Oh, is this Call Me By Your Name?
It is. That's why I picked it. I wanted it to be easy for you. So okay. We can introduce this game, and I'll use it again later. So now you know how to do it.
Okay, I got it.
There you go.
That's the game?
That's it. Yeah, we got a lot to go through. That's why I didn't want to.
It sounds like you're a little bit under the weather. How are you feeling?
Do I sound under the weather? I feel okay.
Okay, a little bit of a scratchy throat. Okay, well, let's jump into it, Grant. What we have written down here, what is this? I'm going to do a quick scroll. 15 items. I don't know if we'll get to all of them. I think we should start off with what I consider to be potentially the biggest news over the last couple of weeks, and that is the fact that David Benioff and D.B. Weiss, the people behind Game of Thrones, who were developing that HBO show called Confederate, which I don't think is going to get made anymore, but they have a trilogy of Star Wars films. They were just given a trilogy because I guess that's what happens now. We just give trilogies to people.
I think it's going to be interesting to see, especially what it's going to be rated.
Oh, it is not going to be anything above PG-13.
Well, that's
PG
what I
probably
mean.
still, but I doubt it's going to get any more than PG-13.
I think Empire would have been PG-13, or
Yeah,
would have been.
that was before they switched it, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, so it's gonna be interesting because of what they are gonna bring to it. I think it's gonna be a little bit more violent. A little bit more, and it's going to be violent, but it's also going to be dialogue heavy.
Yeah, it's interesting to say. I mean, as a fan, as a pretty big fan of Game of Thrones, that the entire series is great mostly because of the source material. And I find that the majority of the time where it goes off book is where it somewhat loses its thematic way. That being said, even in these newer seasons, I think there's been some slam dunk episodes that they have been behind. Currently, as far as I know, they have only been signed on to produce and to write, not direct. Now that could change, of course, later on. And I think what the press release mentioned is that it is a different time period than what we have seen in the Star Wars universe before. So I'm sure that breeds a whole lot of speculation that can happen going from there. But I'm with you. I think that Star Wars now, because we are in a position where it is going to be a new movie every single year. Rian Johnson has his trilogy. Looks like these two have their trilogy. We still have those standalone solo Star Wars movies coming out, and we have the main films coming out as well. So
We
this might.
might be even getting 2 a year.
I was going to say that this sounds like they're in the process of getting up to two, potentially three a year, which is bonkers. If this was like 4 years ago and you or 5 years ago, if you had told me that this was something that was even potentially going to be a reality, what I'm driving at here though is that I think that Star Wars can now become something for all people. There's the people who are like, I continually want to see, what episode 10 and 11 and 12. There's something that's going to continue that story forward. And there's people that can jump in and be like, I don't want to go and sit down and watch 10 other films to figure out what's going on in this one. And this is a good starting off point for me.
Well,
And
I
yeah.
think it'll be fun to maybe they're gonna use some of the books to base their movies on. So they'll have a source material to use.
Oh, I hadn't even thought of that. I mean, yes, I was thinking maybe they're going to go with Knights of the Old Republic, which is something that fans have been clamoring for a lot. But as two that are recognized as being really great adapters, that would be an actually kind of a cool way to go about it. It's like, here's whatever comic book line or a storyline that happened in a book series, now go and adapt it for film.
Yeah. So I think that would be fun, especially because there's characters like Thrawn.
Yeah, I don't know who that is. I never read a single Star Wars book, so I don't know any of this extended universe stuff.
Well, I just know those are books that exist, but he's in the Rebels show. So Thrawn is a great villain. So it would be fun to see movies with a live action Thrawn.
I do like the idea of it being a little bit more brutal, a little bit more, I don't know. Like I don't need to go to a film and be like, this is the bounty hunter. Oh my gosh. This is
Boba
Boba
Fett.
Fett. Yeah, this is Boba Fett's breasts. Oh my gosh. Oh, look at that. It's crazy what these guys are
Well,
getting away with.
it'll be neat to see some legitimate fight scenes.
Well, if they can
I
pull it
mean,
off, yeah.
we got one in The Last Jedi, where it was Kylo and what's
Luke.
her face
Oh, and oh, Rey, and with, yeah.
with the Praetorian Guard. That was
Sure.
great. But But that was the only real fight scene that I really enjoyed in the last two movies.
Actually, what you mentioned before, yes, the fight scenes, the more choreography, the better, in my opinion. But I think I like the talking scenes. I mean, I'm one of those weirdos who really likes that. If they can write that really well, then why not? I mean, I would also love it if, you know, the guy who wrote The West Wing. What's his name?
Aaron Sorkin.
If Aaron Sorkin wrote a Star Wars movie and it was just a bunch of people walking and talking around the Death Star, like, that would be fascinating to me. But I'm a weirdo. I know that no one else would actually probably like that movie at all. Right now, this is a whole lot of speculation, though.
They're working on a live-action TV series, so maybe Aaron Sorkin can do that.
Yeah, that'd be great. Anyways, this is a whole lot of speculation. Until we get much more information, this is us completely talking out of our butts at this point. What do you want to talk about?
So Joaquin Phoenix is a new Joker.
Is that confirmed?
Depending upon which website you go to, it's confirmed or rumored. Yeah, okay. But it's starting in May. So they better have somebody lined up soon.
So wait a second. I'm confused here then on these two story points. And maybe we talked about this before and I'm just blanking on it. But there's a standalone Joker film being done with Todd Phillips.
Directing and produced by Scorsese.
Got it. Okay, that's what it is. So Scorsese's producing this Joker film. It's starting in May. And Joaquin Phoenix is not Tommy Wiseau. I heard that he was wanting to become the Joker. And in Hollywood, all you have to do is just want it really hard.
Tommy Wiseau wants to probably be anything.
At this point, he will do anything, yes.
He's done anything already, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, what do you think? Do you see Joaquin Phoenix as being the Joker? I mean, I'm a fan of Joaquin Phoenix for the most part. I think he's actually a pretty great actor. Do we need a standalone Joker film, I guess, is the follow-up question to that?
No, of course not.
I don't know what they're going to do with it.
But, I mean, I've never seen Joaquin Phoenix really go nuts. I mean, with Jared Leto, you can go, yeah, I can see that.
Right, right.
With Joaquin Phoenix, you're like, I don't know. But then again, Heath Ledger, everyone was like, I don't know.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, Joaquin has done, like, very quiet going nuts. Like, the I'm Not There saga of, like, a year and a half. Or even in The Master, really. He had that, like, weird rage, like, under the surface that kind of bubbled out and over in certain scenes. So I could see him pulling it off, for sure. It's just a role that he hasn't really done before.
There's a... What was that movie where he had the mutton chops and he played a private eye?
Oh, yeah, Inherent Vice.
So, yeah, he was a little bit nuts in that one.
So I think this could be something that we can pull off. I'm much more interested in Scorsese's involvement. If he's just producer, maybe he's just putting up the money, but... if he has any other say in it, would be interesting to see. In fact,
well, I'm sure
Scorsese,
he's gonna have input.
Yeah, a Scorsese superhero film would be. I don't even know what that would look like, to be honest.
That would be if he directed it. It would be an R-rated.
Oh yeah, yeah. There's no way around that. In fact, like his new movie, The Irishman, I think is coming out on Netflix here pretty soon. Debuting on Netflix. This is the world we now live in.
Yeah, the Duplass brothers signed a 4-picture contract with Netflix.
I like those Duplass brothers. They make films that most people hate, but I shouldn't say most people. I would say the general public would not really like most of the films that they create, but they're right up my alley.
The general public doesn't know they exist.
That's true. Yeah, that is true. Well, they would probably know them as actors in like the Mindy Project and other Transparent, but that's
yeah,
about
but if
it.
If you said Duplass Brothers, they would be like, what? Who? And then you show them a picture. You're like, oh, that guy. Yeah, that's that guy. Do it from that thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's a documentary, by the way. That guy from that thing.
Yeah, I mean, that's basically what this podcast is. You know the guy who is you know Boba Fett, like the most popular character from Star Wars besides the main cast that Kyle had a struggle to remember the name of two minutes ago? Phew. Oh boy, Grant.
Man, it's like I did a lot of
blow
caffeine today.
Oh right,
well
yes.
Basically, so like my legs are vibrating, but my brain is still slow.
Sluggish, yeah.
And I'm like, what's going on here? If you've ever done cocaine, you would know that that's kind of, sometimes you feel that way.
I have not, and I never will, probably.
Well, in college, it was a different time for me.
I suppose. Grant, I need to tell you the blockbuster news that broke here this last week.
So why do you do heroin then?
I don't do any drugs. I guess you would do
Yeah.
heroin just to like fall asleep, maybe?
Well, you fall asleep and then you wake up super hyper.
Mm-hmm.
I've never done heroin. I've just watched Trainspotting.
This is actually a good segue talking about drugs because the big blockbuster news is that Richard Pryor and Marlon Brando had carnal relations with each other in the 70s.
They fucked.
They got busy with each other. This is from PageSix.com.
Come on, why don't you use your phrase, boned down?
Did I say that on there? Oh no, I said the F word. Yeah, they boned down like hard. They got it heard up in there. So I'm going to read from page six. This is written by Lindsay Kupfer. Richard Pryor's widow has confirmed that he and Marlon Brando hooked up in the 1970s. Buzz began when Quincy Jones gave an interview to Vulture saying, "Brando was the most charming motherfucker you ever met. He'd fuck anything, anything. He'd fuck a mailbox. James Baldwin, Richard Pryor, Marvin Gaye, Jennifer Lee, who was married to Pryor in the early 1980s, and again in the 2000s up until his death, told TMZ on Wednesday that it was true, and he would have no shame about it. It was the 70s, she said. Drugs were still good, especially Quaaludes. If you did enough cocaine, you'd fuck a radiator and send it flowers in the morning." So there is, that is the article right there.
It's one of the best quotes in the history of quotes.
I kind of want that, yeah. If you. It was the 70s. Drugs were still good, especially Quaaludes. If you did enough cocaine, you'd fuck a radiator and send it flowers in the morning.
There you go.
This is why this podcast is rated R, folks.
Because of Jennifer Lee Pryor.
Because of Jennifer Lee Pryor, blame her. I think this is interesting on two fronts. Number one, obviously, this would have most likely ended both of their careers had this come out, if this had actually gone into the gossip magazines.
Well, that was back in the day where, people still didn't gossip about celebrities. So I'm sure it was common knowledge.
Sure, yeah. It was probably like all the gossip columnists knew it and would use it if they needed to, but it was not something that they were gonna lead with because they still wanted access to all the stars. I think what I also enjoy about that story, as a bisexual man myself, and talking to another bisexual man on the other end of this call, I think that it's important to realize how fluid sexuality really is, and that it's not just those two camps of like gay and straight, but there's a lot of I don't know, there's a lot of grays inside the middle of those two points.
Yes, sir.
So the next time you watch, not Trading Places, what's a Richard Pryor movie? When you watch Superman 3, just
Silver Streak.
remember Silver Streak. There's a better one. When you watch Silver Streak, just know that he was boning down with the Godfather.
I wonder if Marlon Brando had the cotton balls in his cheeks when that happened.
He had them somewhere, Grant, but let's say that yes, they were in his cheeks.
Anal beads.
Correct.
All right. So Danny Boyle might be the favorite for Bond 25.
I heard that. That was something that just recently came out.
Yeah, man. That's pretty neat.
Yeah, I'm excited about that. I'm a big fan of Danny Boyle, mostly because he's one of those directors where no two films are ever really quite the same. He does very different projects, different looks, different feels to them. So I think putting him in charge of Bond, at least for one film, is a kind of a neat step in the right direction, especially if it's going to be Daniel Craig's last time as Bond. I think there can be some cool things that are done in the movie.
And the person that's writing it is the Trainspotting screenwriter.
Oh, is that true? I didn't know that.
Yeah, that also just came out.
Okay, so it's pro so if the Train Spotting writer is writing it, that's probably where the rumor started. But it's
John Hodge.
probably a good guess.
John Hodge, apparently, that's his name. So
What do
I
you
think this is exciting because it'll be a different view from for Bond.
British director, which is nice.
Well, the wasn't who directed the last one? Oh well, I'm
Actually,
not gonna.
not the guy who did American Beauty, whose
Sam
name
Mendes.
Sam Mendes, who is also British, so I guess it's not a huge diversion for it not to be a British person.
Yeah, so I think it's going to be exciting to see a different point of view, especially from somebody that's a little bit more stylized.
Do we know when the
I wonder
next
if
Bond movie is coming out?
James Bond's going to crawl through a toilet, I hope.
Or like cut off his arm.
I think James Bond coming out.
Next year? Like it wouldn't be this year. It must be, or maybe it could be coming out this November if they're already talking directors.
No. It's coming out. I think their release date is when my computer loads, November 8th, 2019.
Okay, so not this November, next November.
Yeah.
Well,
And
I'm
then.
excited. I'm hoping he can shoot up with some heroin, crawl through a toilet, cut off his arm, run
Poop
away
his
from
bed.
zombies. What other Danny Boyle films are there?
Win $1 million
Oh,
in
right, yeah.
Indian.
An Indian Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. It's just going to be a best of hits for James Bond in his last outing.
And then fuck.
Yes, that's the twist. He just gets busy with Marlon
Dev
Brando,
Patel.
with Dev Patel. Grant, I think let's take it back here a little bit. You've probably heard about this huge conspiracy theory on how Shakespeare didn't actually write Shakespeare's plays. Have
Of
you heard
course, I've
about
seen some
this?
documentaries on it.
There's documentaries. I think there was even like a movie, like a fictional movie or something that was made about this, about the paradox. I've always come down on it this way, which is I don't really care either way at this point, whether he wrote all of his plays or not, or if it was a few different people, or whatever, the rich king's son, or whatever other theories there are out there. I think it just matters that the plays were written themselves, and that there's so many great things that happen in those pieces of art.
Yes, sir.
That being said, from the New York Times here a few days ago, it says, this is the headline by Michael Blanding, plagiarism software unveils a new source for 11 of Shakespeare's plays. Now, this is not the normal conspiracy theory where it's saying that Shakespeare didn't write his own plays. It's just saying that he took a lot of inspiration from stuff that was existent at that time.
Oh, well, we all knew that already. A lot of his plays were, he stole ideas from other people.
Oh, sure. So here's what it is. They ran this software that they use in like schools and universities to catch if people have plagiarized essays or other people or books, whatever it happens to be. The important thing here is that the authors are not suggesting that Shakespeare plagiarized, even though that's what the headline says, but rather that he read and was inspired by a manuscript titled A Brief Discourse of Rebellion and Rebels, written in the late 1500s by George North, a minor figure in the court of Queen Elizabeth who served as an ambassador to Sweden. So the plays in question here are King Lear, Macbeth, Richard III, Henry V, and seven other plays, apparently. Here's the interesting thing. So, where I'm trying to find it here quickly. In the dedication to his manuscript, for example, North urges those who might see themselves as ugly to strive to be inwardly beautiful, to defy nature. He uses a succession of words to make the argument, including proportion, glass, feature, fair, deformed, world, shadow, and nature. In the opening soliloquy of Richard III, now is the winter of our discontent. The hunchback tyrant uses the same words in virtually the same order to come to the opposite conclusion that since he is outwardly ugly, he will act the villain he appears to be. People don't realize how rare these words actually are, Mr. McCarthy said, and he keeps hitting word after word. It's like a lottery ticket. It's easy to get one number out of six, but not to get every number. So essentially, they're using this and being like, okay, so Shakespeare, whomever he was, we know who he was, but he probably read this manuscript, was so inspired that he kind of just took that and then wrote a bunch of plays afterwards. What is your immediate reaction to that, Grant?
Well, of course. I'm fine with that.
I think too, what's important to know about is like we say plagiarism, but plagiarism has a very recent is a very recent thing that we take pretty seriously in like academia and in art and stuff like that. But for so many years, it was almost a an act of like, I love your stuff, so I'm going to use some of it in my own work. And it would not have been looked at as being like, oh, he just took something from something else. I think what's different here is that when people say that Shakespeare invented all these different words, which he still probably has, that he looks like he was really utilizing this one text for a lot of his information.
Yeah, and I've read books and I've read stories and I've read plays, and I'm like, and they were done before the play that Shakespeare wrote, and I'm like, oh, that's where he got this.
Right, right.
I see exactly where this came from.
If you were Shakespeare, Grant, or if you were to become a playwright, an author, what one text do you think you would steal the most from?
The Bible.
The Bible. Ugh. That's a dumb answer.
L.A. Confidential.
Thank you. Yes. I really wish I'd seen L.A. Confidential so I could actually riff on that a little bit more than I can. I think for me,
Kevin, I don't want to spoil it.
Yeah, Kevin Spacey is a predator. Yeah, I know that. Spoiler alert. I think the one text for me, honestly, would be The Princess Bride. If I was to be like, if I could take one text and then use a bunch of information and create my own stuff from it, that would probably be the one thing that I stole the most from.
So you'd write a whole play on the R-O-U-S's?
Yeah, that's right. It's just like an entire... I workshop a script about like a giant who talks in rhyming couplets. I'd write this... get this, Grant. I think what I would do is write a spec script of a private eye, of a detective. Let's call him Columbo. And he would go and actually just solve murders.
And he has a glass eye.
Mm-hmm. Boy, the Wonder Years are great, right?
He's like, one more thing.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Nobody knows what we're talking about. What's next up for you?
So Black Panther is apparently the number one rated movie of all time on Rotten Tomatoes. As of the 18th, anyways.
Well, that will drop down for sure. I am the one person in North America who has not seen this movie yet.
Well, it's amazing.
So no spoilers. So, best Marvel movie? One of the best Marvel movies?
Well, it was funny because I think Joanna Robinson was the person that said it, that Sebastian Stan has been in the two best Marvel movies. So... So we should put Sebastian Stan in every Marvel movie.
What's she considering the other one? Winter Soldier?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Oh, I spoiled that Sebastian Stan's in Black Panther. Sorry.
Thanks for the spoiler. So it's that good then. I doubt this is going to stay at the number one position. This happened with The Dark Knight for a bit when it first came out. It was number one on like IMDb for a few months before it started to drop down as more and more people saw it.
Well, the ones that are just beneath it are Get Out and Paddington 2.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think what's really showing very clearly here is that 4 years, and what would be like, it frustrated me to no end, and this is going to sound like I'm virtue signaling, but it was constantly said over and over, movies about minorities that are directed by minorities, or that star women or directed by women, that there's no way that you can possibly make a blockbuster film out of that. And yet time and time again, Tyler Perry has even proven this, is that if you make movies for a segment that is underrepresented, that you make lots of money.
Well, Tyler Perry makes a movie for like a couple million dollars and then he makes like $50 million off of it.
I know. I'm just saying that to say that you can't make money off of that strategy is a false one. And specifically for this one, yes, it's a Marvel film, so that comes with its own built-in audience. But this is a movie that, as I understand it, is very much about the Black experience, but is also something that general audiences can come to as well. And I think that's really great.
Well, the majority, not the majority, but a large segment of the theater that I was in was filled with minorities.
Mm-hmm.
Not just Black people, but, you know,
which is interesting to think
Hispanic
about.
Hispanic people, too.
In 20 years, you and I are probably going to be the minority, quote unquote.
Yeah, and But the cool thing is, well, first of all, Get Out is also, you know, top three all time.
You know what? I watched that last night for the first time.
And that was a blockbuster.
It was,
yeah. 'Cause it was a small budget, and they made over $100 million.
Well, talking about Tyler Perry, like that's a Blumhouse Studios. That's their whole MO. They fund movies for no more than $10 million. That's like their top end funding strategy, but they're usually within like the $2 to $5 million and expect to make $30 to $40 million back. Like that's their whole way that they make movies. And then Get Out became like huge for them in this case.
The great thing about Black Panther also is that females, you know, there's three major females in the movie and they're basically the stars of the movie. Mm-hmm. There's a warrior, there's a Q, there's a spy that are all black females. So again, you're talking about female representation, minority representation. It's just silly to think about these sorts of things.
It is. I mean, and what's cool too about this is that this is going to be bookended really nicely with Black Panther coming out, and then there's going to be Wrinkle in Time that comes out here in just, I think, just over a month from now. Directed by an African-American woman, starring a bunch of African-American women. So it's going to be interesting to see if that is also as big as what Black Panther is. And then maybe I don't have to listen to people tell me over and over on how films that star black people can't make money.
You know, I read A Wrinkle in Time. Mm-hmm. So it'll be one of the few times where I've read the book before seeing the movie.
This is actually more shocking than the Shakespeare thing for me, Grant, in that I was really convinced that you couldn't read.
I had someone read it to me.
Right. Oh, great. Yes.
Yeah.
was it Armie Hammer?
Well, of course.
Yeah,
who else would?
Came over, read you Wrinkle in Time. Here's the thing. I mean, this is going to sound so dumb. I know, but I'm still going to say it out loud. So I'm getting kind of obsessed with the movie Call Me By Your Name that we started off with here. I've made two videos about it now at this point on my YouTube channel. And I will say straight up that before this, Armie Hammer was someone who I never thought about. He was a person who showed up in films, and then I forgot that he was in films afterwards. He's been kind of a big nothing. This film, I think he does such a great job, and now I'm falling down this rabbit hole of watching interviews of him on like talk shows, and he's like, oh, he's like this charming, funny, cool dude that I could not have cared less about 2 weeks ago.
Well, I really like The Man from U.N.C.L.E.
Yeah, it was not a big thing for me, but I get it. I get it.
It's sad that movie didn't do better.
Mm-hmm.
But I also liked King Arthur, so I don't know.
Yeah, I didn't watch King Arthur.
I'm silly.
Here's my dirty little secret. I don't think that The Lone Ranger is as bad as everyone says it is.
It's not, but I mean, it's...
It's not great.
Know,
I'm not going to tell you it's a great movie, but it's not like
part of them,
the abomination of a film that most people tell me it is.
The worst part is Johnny Depp, obviously.
True. I agree with that. They should have really cast an actual, you know, Native American in that role.
Well, Lou Diamond Phillips isn't doing anything.
Exactly. Like, what's he been doing?
I don't know.
Really, I still can't believe that happened 3 or 4 years ago. And Johnny Depp can claim that he's, what, 1/15th Cherokee or whatever he said he was, but...
Well, I've heard that before, yeah. Well, I'm somewhere back in my ancestry, we're Blackfoot, but I'm not gonna.
You're not gonna go and put feathers in your hair and claim that you're part of a treaty of some kind.
No, that was silly and stupid, and horrible. Wasn't he the one behind the whole movie that wanted to get it made?
I could not even tell you.
And he wanted to play Tonto. I think so. I think he was one of the driving forces on that movie. But I couldn't tell you.
All right, what's next?
Jessica Chastain just got cast in It Chapter 2 as the adult Bev, which is exactly what everybody wanted.
Exactly. That was like what everyone was saying should happen after they watched it. Have you watched the first It?
Yeah.
I mean, not the original It from like the 80s. I'm talking about the one that came out here last year.
Yeah, I saw it in the theaters.
Yeah, I did too. Did we talk about this? I can't remember what your thoughts were.
Oh, I liked it a lot. It was, you know, I don't like horror films normally, but I thought that was great. I don't know how much the adult version is going to be because what I really liked was the Goonies
Sure.
Style adventure of the kids.
Well, I can tell you a thing. It doesn't go well for some of them. It does not go well. I wasn't a big fan of what they did. I thought that the visuals were striking, but I just don't think that they were able to capture the absolute terror from that book effectively. I really do think it should have been made into a miniseries again, like a Netflix 10 episodes, being able to switch back and forth from the adults to the kids. And just tell it like deeply, and like that book is like almost 1,000 pages long. Like it's a Game of Thrones miniseries you could have done with that book.
What you're telling me is you wanted the group sex scene.
No, you don't. I would have still cut that out because it's weird. And even in context of the book, I don't think even really makes sense. Like I've heard Stephen King give the explanation of why he did it so that they can break out of their innocence phase. But it still is like, sure, but you're gang raping a girl. Like that is what you're doing.
Is that what was it rape?
Well, she says that she wants them to do it, so technically no. But still, it's weird. It's just weird and off-putting.
But because she was abused and shown.
Yeah, yeah, her father is much more abusive to her than what's shown in that movie.
Yeah, because, you know, an abused girl is going to make choices that she doesn't actually want to make.
Anyways, I'm a big Jessica Chastain fan, so I'm sure she'll kill it.
Yeah.
Oh, is that a spoiler? Is that a spoiler?
Yeah, it is.
All right.
Everybody dies.
Everybody
gets hit by a car driven by it.
Yeah. And then 1,000 clowns get out of the car. Who are they going to blame?
Why do they call it It instead of, like, Pennywise?
So, again, it's something that's not necessarily conveyed very well, but Pennywise is only one of its forms. It's not just the clown all the time. It actually does different manifestations. And so that's what the kids start to call it, is that it's just this thing that exists in their town.
Assumed that all of them were Pennywise.
Right, but it's not. Pennywise is one of its forms as the clown, because that's what one of the kids' greatest fears is clowns. But everyone else's greatest fear is also manifested by that spirit.
All right. Sounds good to me.
Yeah. I wanted to talk about some podcasts here. I think we talked a little bit about this when it was first announced, but the Wolverine, The Long Night trailer just came out. This is like the premium podcast from, is it Stitcher?
Or
is
Stitcher,
Stitcher is funding this. So it's the first Marvel podcast about Wolverine, which I've understood is that after a few months, it's going to become free for everyone to listen to. But if you want to listen to it when it first drops, you would have to be a Stitcher subscriber in that case.
Great.
And it was the first trailer came out for it, so you can go and listen to that and sort of see a bit of a animatic or a little bit of an animation underneath it, which I was a big fan. I think this is a great medium for comic books and these types of stories to be put into. And I'm actually kind of surprised it's taken until now for someone to really delve into this hardcore.
It's really cool. I was really excited when I heard that that's what they were going to do.
Yeah.
I also love radio plays. I was a kid, I didn't listen to music. I listened to like talk radio.
Sure.
Or the news. I listened to the local news station down here.
And Rush
and then
Limbaugh?
No.
Not yet.
And then at 9 o'clock at night or 10 o'clock at night, they would do an hour of old time radio,
mm-hmm.
and it was just the best. I love it. I listen to old time radio every once in a while. I got an app on my phone that lets me listen to it.
I don't know. This is when I was growing up, but up here in Canada, the CBC, the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, you have a certain channel that you can see whatever they're broadcasting on the television channel. But there's also, back when I was a kid, I don't know actually if it still exists, there was a radio station that you could tune to that would just play the audio from the TV station.
Oh, really?
Yeah, commercials and everything, which means
that's fascinating.
What I would do, which I thought was so fun, was I would turn the mute on the television and then just listen to the radio. And it was sometimes like a second or two behind, but it was still whatever. I didn't care that much. I was a kid. But it would still play along. And what that meant, what I could do, is I'd be watching the TV and say whatever, Gilligan's Island or Mr. Dress Up or whatever it was on playing. And then I would like take my like little handheld radio and like walk around the house, like get something to eat. I'd still hear what was going on, so I could come back and pick up where I left off.
That's really cool. My
Yeah.
brother used to record movies onto a tape and listen to it
Sure.
in the car.
Yeah, my friend used to do that. He would tape TV shows and movies and just listen to the audio while driving.
That's really, I love that sort of stuff. It lets your imagination run wild. That's why I loved old time radio.
Did you, when you say old time radio though, too, are you talking about like listening to The Shadow or Gunsmoke or any of those old stuff as well?
Yeah, like the Six Shooter, Hopalong Cassidy with Jimmy Stewart, Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar, The Jack Benny Show, George Burns, Gracie Allen.
Yeah, I would love to do like a legitimately old styled radio show. I know there's podcasts that exist that do exactly that, but I would like to create my own where it was just like a new story every week that kind of continued the plot. Never
You need
meaning
to.
to really be wrapped up. It was just like a continuation of what happened before, cliffhanger after cliffhanger.
You would need sound effects and everything.
I have some balloons and some needles that I can make that work with.
In theater school, we were supposed to. We made a. We all paired off and made radio shows,
Sure.
and so ours was a horror. Me and Amy, we did a little horror movie, and the stabbing that we did, the murder that we did, was I cut a watermelon in half, and
Right.
I would just punch it. So
Nice.
it sounded like psh, psh, psh. It was great. I wish I still had that audio. I lost it.
So I mean, you listen to this trailer, obviously. You're excited for it. Is there any other properties? It doesn't even have to be Marvel necessarily, but any other properties you think they could bring to the podcasting world that would make sense?
Well, Star Wars, of course.
Yeah. No, I could see that. Yeah,
The young
absolutely.
Indiana Jones.
All the stuff from our childhood. Jaws.
Well, no, just Jaws the Revenge only.
Only Jaws of Revenge. It's actually told from the shark's point of view. You just hear a shark swimming for about 70% of it and then people screaming. It's great.
Yeah. I will not, what is it? I will not eat a fish or something like that.
Right, from
Fish are friends.
Fisher Friends. Fish are friends.
Yeah, so did you like the new Deadpool trailer?
I will confess, I don't think I've seen it.
Well, it
I
was
saw I
fascinating.
saw Ryan Reynolds at doing his Make-A-Wish Foundation stuff with all those kids who got to hang out with him for a day on the set, which was cool.
Ryan Reynolds is great with that sort of thing. Terry Crews all of a sudden shows up in the trailer.
Oh.
Out of nowhere, there's Terry Crews.
And we
And
didn't know that
everybody's
he was actually in this?
nobody knew. So everybody was super surprised. And I love when they're able to keep secrets like this and reveal, like I wish they didn't reveal it in the trailer. I wish they would have just left it for the movie.
Right.
It's like in the Spider-Man Homecoming trailer, they basically told the whole movie in the trailer.
Right.
So it would have been nice if they left some reveals, but whatever. What can you do? Are you looking forward to Deadpool 2?
I mean, yes and no. I mean, I thought the first one was fine. I liked it a lot. I was laughing. It was pretty, you could tell it was very low budget what they were producing. I just don't know how you go on from there. I think that in many ways, like the joke the first time was that, oh, we get to say all these crazy things and swear. And now I don't know how you top that.
Well,
Except getting more and more vulgar, and then it's like I don't really want it to be that either.
it looks like he's pulling together the X-Force.
Right.
So this is basically a prequel to X-Force, the
But
movie.
Marvel technically owns this now again, right? Because they have 20th Century Fox.
It's not official yet. But I think
Well.
Comcast came in and bid bigger. So who knows what's going to happen?
Who knows what's going to happen? But if it does, then I can see that after this movie, I don't know how eager Marvel is going to be with this franchise.
Well, if this is a success, they're going to be willing to make another one.
I guess so. I guess they could continue really having like they even now Disney owned Miramax And Touchstone Pictures and stuff is where they would put like their R-rated stuff, and then they didn't necessarily have to have the Disney banner on it. So we'll see. We shall see.
They will keep separate universes. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure.
I don't think so. I think it's only a matter of time before the X-Men show up in the broader Marvel universe.
Well, of course, but that's not going to be right away. And I think that'll be when they, reboot the whole MCU.
I think it's going to be after Infinity War. I think there's going to be some way that they're going to make that all fit together.
Well, Fantastic Four is going to come in after Infinity War. If they get the rights.
If they get the rights back. I mean, I think it would still be the coolest thing ever if the after credits sequence of Infinity War is the Fantastic Four showing up. And just keep that quiet. I should have asked, was it a good after credits sequence for Black Panther?
The first one's okay. The second one is neat.
It's very, I don't know. It's a very PC way of saying that.
Yeah.
Generous way of saying that.
You know, so it wasn't as cool as, say, the Thor ones.
I heard full penetration, though.
Well, of course, that's every post-credit scene is full penetration.
Right, right.
You see the balls slapping against everything.
All right, well, let's go through the rest of these things. Oh, come on. Back to these radio plays. Is that a watermelon? I'm pretty sure that's a watermelon.
Well, have you seen Me, Myself, and Irene?
I have.
So there's the watermelon in there.
Mm. Grant, let's go through the rest
of
these things.
Drill the hole in there.
Because most of this stuff is you who's going to probably be talking. Number one, Ryan Murphy's musical Netflix show called Politician, which I think we briefly discussed here before about him developing a musical. But what is this actually about?
That's a good question. I kind of forget.
I'm going to go with on a limb here and say that it might be something to do with politics.
But they're going to have musical numbers in every episode.
And so are they just bringing back the cast of Glee, you know, except for the person who just killed himself over pedophile charges?
Oh, that guy. Yeah. Forgot about that guy.
I mean, Chris Colfer is not doing much of anything right now.
He's writing.
Yeah, he's a writer. So, again, I repeat, not doing much of anything right now.
I'm pretty certain it's just Ben Platt.
From Dear Evan Hansen.
Yeah, he's going to star in it, and they are in talks with Barbara Streisand.
Oh, that's right. Yes, we did talk about this. Yeah.
So let's move on from
that. Okay, Harley Quinn, R-rated animated series coming to DC Streaming. Talk to me about this.
Yeah, we don't have any idea what DC Streaming is going to be called, but it's R-rated. It's going to have Margot Robbie back, I believe, voicing her. We don't know what other characters we're going to see or if we're going to ever see the Joker. Who knows? But Marvel streaming is starting to collect – I mean DC streaming is starting to collect a lot of really cool shows. They're going to have Titans, which is Teen Titans. And they're going to have I believe Young Justice is coming to the DC streaming season 3.
Cool.
So they're collecting all these really cool shows. But we don't know much about the R-rated Harley Quinn show yet. But it's cool that it's R-rated.
Yeah,
if you saw Batman and Harley Quinn, there's a sex scene between Robin and Harley Quinn.
Right. I think you sent that to me.
Well, it's basically a rape scene.
Yes.
Yeah. Harley Quinn rapes Robin.
It's
good
really
for
graphic.
Her.
Really graphic.
So Lobo is eyeing Michael Bay, so I've all of a sudden lost complete interest in Lobo.
And remind me again who Lobo is.
He's like the bounty hunter that rides a space motorcycle.
Mm.
And he looks crazy. He's got a white face paint.
Well, I think what that means is that I need the transformification of Lobo. Can you just imagine all that chrome and like digital eye candy that Michael Bay is going to bring to this project?
Horrible. Oh, and they're after Bumblebee, they're in the Transformers series too.
Oh, great. Just what we need.
Yep, it's horrible.
Okay.
The last movie was so bad.
Epically bad. I stopped after 2, so I've heard that it gets epically worse after that.
Well, I watched it because it's available secretly for free wherever
things are free. The Venom trailer came out, Grant, and it was definitely a trailer.
It was a horrible trailer.
I didn't think it was that great. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't know if it was like awful, but it definitely wasn't good.
And it seemed like there was repeat footage in there.
Well,
which is like, what are you gonna do with a short trailer like that? It was a teaser, and you're gonna have repeat footage.
Yeah.
But I mean, there's rumors that there's gonna be a Spider-Man in the movie. But it might not be Tom Holland's Spider-Man.
Yeah, I don't know how – I don't know. I don't know how why this movie needs to be made in the first place. I understand why Sony's doing it to, you know, put a little bit more money in their coffers. But it's at the same time, I really have no interest in seeing this movie at all.
They're just really wanting to have some sort of comic book movie under their control, which is sad. It's kind of pathetic, really. I don't understand like why Tom Hardy even did this. I think it's because he wanted to be part of Suicide Squad and missed out on it. But I mean, Suicide Squad was horrible.
Bullet dodge there, I think.
Yeah. But now he's doing another horrible movie, but we'll see.
We'll see.
It takes place in San Francisco, which would be neat if Ant-Man didn't take place in San Francisco.
Right.
Because it's, you know, everything takes place in New York. That was one of the great things about Black Panther, is it doesn't take place in New York. It takes place somewhere else. And it's not a world-ending scenario. It's just, you know, country under attack. Oh, and there's lots of fun Trump references in the movie.
Oh, great.
So that's something to look forward to.
I don't like my movies getting political, Grant. Ugh, this is the worst. Let's move on then, Grant. Let's go to what we've been watching, what we've been consuming over these past couple of weeks. What have you been consuming?
You don't want to do the last one?
Didn't we talk about that already? We talked about how Black Panther broke all the records.
Well, I can tell you what the records are.
Tell me what the records are.
Okay, so largest February opening ever, $202 million, beating a Deadpool who only had $132 million on the opening weekend. Largest winter season opening weekend, again beating Deadpool. Largest President's Day weekend opening, again beating Deadpool, which is funny because I didn't know Deadpool came out on President's Day. But that was $242 million over the four-day weekend.
That's crazy, yeah.
Largest Monday ever, $40 million, barely beating The Force Awakens by $50,000.
Wow, okay.
And largest Thursday preview gross in the month of February, $25 million versus Deadpool's $12 million.
It really took Deadpool to school here.
Yeah, man. So fuck Deadpool.
That's right. So yeah, what have you been consuming? Oh, there's that watermelon again.
Let's see here. I guess I got to go down to what I'm consuming. Oh, I watched Altered Carbon. The new Netflix series.
Sure.
Fascinating show. It's got Joel Kinnaman, who I like from The Killing, not from Suicide Squad, though he was fine in Suicide Squad. But Altered Carbon is about, you know, that they can transfer your consciousness into a new body.
Sure.
So it's like that Ben Kingsley, Ryan Reynolds movie.
Right, right.
But it's really cool show. Takes place in the future. I mean, it can almost be a Blade Runner world thing. But it's a really cool show with some really fun action.
Have you finished
it?
It's got
James Purefoy in it, who I really like.
Yeah, I've heard somewhat mixed things about it. There's a lot of people who do dig it, and then there's other people who think it's just too over the top for them.
Well, I think you need to watch the whole series to really get it.
Okay.
But I don't know. That might not be the thing. But there's a really cool fight scene where the person keeps transferring their consciousness from one body to another body.
Oh, yeah.
And so you kill one guy, and then they transfer their consciousness. Then they, you know, so that person attacks, which is really neat. Fascinating.
And what else?
Oh, there's a show called Expanse that stars Thomas Jane. He's a cop that gets kind of hired – are commanded to do an off-the-books investigation to look for a rich person's daughter, and he lives on an asteroid. So this is where, you know, people have – there's a Mars colony, and then there's different asteroid outposts. And then the Mars people and the Earth people are not really friends, and the asteroids are caught in the middle between the two.
Oh, interesting.
And there's a really weird story about the Mormons building this giant ship to go to that planet that they talk about in their religion.
Okay.
I forget what the planet's called, but they want to go find God, right? And so there's this really strange, weird storyline there that they don't really delve too much into. So I'm assuming in season two, which I haven't started yet, they're going to explore the Mormons a little bit more. But it's really a really cool show. It's science fiction, and it's great because with the technology today, you can do a low budget science fiction show and it looks great.
Yeah.
The Altered Carbon, I think they spent like $5 million an episode or something crazy.
Huh.
Whereas Expanse, I'm sure. I'm a big fan of Thomas Jane. I liked him in The Punisher. I don't know. Thomas Jane is a neat guy. And he was fun in Arrested Development, where he played himself. But the girl, I forget her name, in the show thought he was a homeless person.
Right.
So she was trying to help him out, and then it turns out he's just famous Thomas Jane, and he was researching a role. Arrested Development. We're getting a new season hopefully soon.
Probably.
But without Jeffrey Tambor, I'm sure.
Yep, probably.
I don't know what they're going to do with Transparent without him.
I thought that was like mostly the show, wasn't it?
Exactly. I mean, he is the Transparent.
Oh, snap, Grant. That's what that name means.
So I don't know what they're going to do at all.
Yeah.
So I think they should just end the show.
Yeah, at this point, I don't think, like, make a new show if you want to, you know, continue doing anything with those. I don't know. Anyways, what I've been watching, what I've been consuming, I've been trying to go through most of the Oscar-nominated films. I'm not going to go through every single one of these. Like I told you, I already watched Get Out. Big fan of it. Thought it was really good. Because I'm seeing it after everybody loving it, I didn't fall in love with it a whole lot, but I thought it was really strong, a really good directorial debut by Jordan Peele. I wanted to shed some light, though.
I think he's starting his next movie by the end of the year.
That's right. It's like he wants to do a Hitchcockian film, but from the black perspective, sort of, which I think is an interesting take. So I wanted to talk about two of the categories.
Jeez, when are white people going to get a break in this Hollywood?
I know, right? I want to talk about the short animated film category. So I've seen all of the short animated films. Two of them, though, I really wanted to call out. One is super hard to find. So this is probably not great news for most of you out there, but it's called Negative Space. And it's 5 minutes long. It's like really not a, like it's a short. It is very much a short. And it details this kid who bonds with his father over packing luggage. And there's a bit of a wallop at the end, but I thought it was just a really, really well-done short. The one that you can probably find, at least here in Canada, it's on Netflix. I don't know if it's on American Netflix at all. But it's called Revolting Rhymes. And it's actually a BBC production that has two parts, but it's only part one that was nominated for the Academy Award.
Right.
But you can watch both parts right now if you wanted to. In a way, I kind of recommend only watching part one because the way that it ends, if you didn't know that there was a part two, is really subversive and interesting. I really liked how they did it. Part two is still really good, but part one absolutely is like very, very strong animation and storytelling that's involved. It's a bit longer. It's 30 minutes long. Each part is 30 minutes, so it's about an hour of your time if you want to watch both part one and part two. But definitely I recommend Revolting Rhymes as well. The second category is the documentary category, which I usually try and like to watch a bunch of, and this year it's just been so hard to do, and I still haven't finished all of the documentary features, but I'll mention two that I have seen. One is called Icarus, and this is kind of my favorite type of documentary in that it starts off with the documentarians doing a documentary on one thing, and because of being in the right place at the right time, they kind of get swept up into this other story that they weren't originally going to tell. And this one starts off just talking about cycling, about bike racing. And this guy, kind of in a supersize me bet, wonders if he can take all these drugs and still pass all the tests.
Right.
And then what happens is that he finds this Russian who's willing to help him out. And this is when the whole doping scandal kind of breaks big. And now he's involved in this, trying to smuggle this guy out of Russia before the KGB comes and kills him. So it goes into a very different place from what it starts off as.
Wow.
And I thought it was really interesting.
That's fascinating. I didn't know about that. It's on Netflix, I believe.
That's on Netflix, yeah. The other one is also on Netflix that I'm going to talk about, which is Last Men in Aleppo. And this is the one I'm pretty confident is probably going to win, just because it's very current and present day stuff. This is very like fly on the wall. The documentarians are just there with cameras and showing you stuff that's happening as the city of Aleppo is being bombed completely to smithereens. And the people there that are still living there and are trying their best to live, and the first responders who go to these buildings that collapsed with people still inside of them and try and rescue them.
Right.
Do not, and I'm telling you, do not watch this film if you do not want to see dead people on screen. Because you are going to see real dead people on screen. You are going to watch people pull out dead babies from the rubble. You're going to watch people pull out people piece by piece, like arm
awesome.
By arm. It
Love
is
it.
Hard to watch. So hard to watch in some cases. I had to pause it a few times and get up and walk around because I was getting way too hyped up. Like, not hyped up, but like just too emotional with it that I was like, oh, I can tell I'm super tense. I need to go and relax it, myself out
so
of this.
It's a comedy.
Super. It's the feel-good hit of the summer. But it's so powerful. There's a couple of people you meet in there. And again, this is going to get political. But when you see these people who are, you know, the immigrants and rushing out of there and trying to escape this awful situation and trying to find a new and better life, I just don't know what type of person you could be to watch this film and be like, no, they deserve to die. I don't know. I just I don't know what type of person it is that can watch something like this and still believe that these aren't good, decent people trying their very best to make something work for themselves.
Yeah, it's horrible.
It's a position I'm never going to be, that I've never been in, and I hope I never be in. I don't know if I could do it as well as these people are. Anyways, Last Men in Aleppo is that movie. I do recommend it, but it is a tough watch. It is a very tough watch.
Well, if Trump has his way, you'll be living exactly like that.
That was our Trump second that we have. All right, Grant, I think it's time to wrap things up here. What did you learn this week? Did we figure out whatever this is?
Figured out that minorities can make a movie successful.
Mm-hmm. And I also discovered what it sounds like when Grant has sex with a watermelon. All right. There is
it's
so many.
Also, that's the sound that a Lars von Trier movie makes.
That's right. No questions this week, but if you do have questions, concerns, comments, definitely send them our way to whateverpod@gmail.com. You can also find our other stuff, facebook.com/whateverpod and twitter.com/whateverpod. Before I actually get into my Twitter, we should also say, because I usually forget to say this, that all the music that you heard in today's episode was done by one Tyler Forrest Hauser. You can go and see a link to his photography down in the description below. If you want to get in contact with me, best way to do that is by going to twitter.com. I am at the Kyle Marshall, Marshall with two L's. Grant, what's your Twitter?
Twitter.com/Fejimans, F-E-J-I-M-A-N-Z, or Z, depending upon what country you're in. So out of nowhere, I've got Sister Act songs stuck in my head, Sister Act 2.
Okay, good.
I don't understand, like, where does that come from, just out of nowhere? I haven't watched that movie in, you know, maybe 10 years.
You just got that whoopee hang up. You just got that whoopee fix that you need to get sated.
I don't understand, man. It's just really weird. Mm-hmm. Joyful, joyful Lord, we adore thee. God of heaven, God above.
Maybe you just need God in your life.
No.
All right, we're gonna end it there.